Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, we pray for the outpouring of your Spirit, that we may understand and appreciate the message from this simple parable. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You know, it would have been an amazing thing to have been there to hear Jesus give that Sermon on the Mount. But what is so fascinating is the way in which he ended the sermon with this very simple illustration, this parable. A parable about a house being built. And perhaps more to the point, about two houses being built. I'm sure the people there that day would have wondered, why on earth would you finish this sermon with all these important truths with a parable about two houses being built? I'm sure that both owners of the houses would have wanted their house to look their best. After all, this was going to be their pride and joy. I'm sure that everything would have been done that anyone looking at those houses would have thought, boy, this is special. But you see, with one of those houses, there was a simple, basic, fundamental flaw. It's built on sand. Built on sand. The other, built on rock. And it doesn't matter that both houses look great, and there probably may have been a chance that the one built on the sand may have even looked the best. But who cares? It was built on sand. The winds blew, and the house fell. Matthew 7:24-25 begins with these words, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Here we begin the story with the house that was built upon the rock. As we read this story, the thing that is painfully obvious, that there was no escaping the floods, the rains, the storms. They came. They came. And you know, for all of us in our own daily lives, the storms of life do come. No escape. If anyone knows of some magic formula to avoid the storms of life, boy, I'd like to know it. But there isn't one, is there? There's not one. There's not a formula that can avoid the storms of life. And for this house, there was no escape either. But the question that we need to ask is, okay, for it to stand, what was the secret of this house? And I'm going to come to Luke chapter 6, because it tells the parable, but with one little added bit to it. Luke 6. Luke 6, 47 and 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and what? Dig deep. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat, and we all know the rest of the sentence. But the key is, he was willing to do what? Dig deep. Dig deep. And to get to that rock would not have been easy. You know, when it comes to digging deep, particularly if it's hard soil, it's not much fun. And it would have been so easy to give up and say, well, that'll be good enough. Near enough. Why bother? Surely this will do the job, won't it? But hey, he was building his house, and he knew that that house to stand the storms of life, and keeping in mind those storms do come, we got to dig deep. Had to dig deep. And dig he did. Do we need to dig deep? Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Psalms 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. The Lord's our rock. And I guess for each of us the question is, but have we dug deep this last week? In God's word, to find that rock, to find Jesus. Because when the storms of life do come, how we need to dig deep in the Word of God, to know Jesus, to be one with Him, so that together with Him we can stand against the storms of life. But you see, we must be willing to dig. We must be willing to dig in the Word of God. We must be willing to open the Bible. There is no point in having the Bible sitting on a shelf that won't save you. You've got to open it. You have to read it. You know, in that verse we just read, we're told that the Lord is our strength and in Him we can trust. Have you discovered that for yourself? Just as the man knew the value of digging deep to get to the rock, to build his house upon that rock, so for us today, we also need to appreciate that we need to dig to get to the greatest rock of all, Jesus. Jesus. But where do we start? Where do we start? How can I find that rock that is higher than I? Psalms 12. Come with me there. Psalms 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. What beautiful words to read. The words of God are so special. The words of God are pure. The words of God are like silver tried in the fire. You know, when you stop and think about it, following the one in heaven, our God in heaven, makes for a very good choice. When we allow him to lead, we are on safe ground. This is what we need. But then we could add the words of another verse, Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Do you know that for yourself? Have you discovered that for yourself, that God's word is a lamp, that God's word is a light? How we need that. And in the reading of God's word, we are building, as it were, upon a solid foundation that can never be pulled apart. In the world that we all do live in today, the thing that we need most is that solid foundation. The world in which we are living is changing so rapidly. And we could ask the question, you know, is there anything that you could build a foundation upon in this world that will stand against the storms of life? Not really. Not really. You know, every year we see another team win, as it were, the grand final of football. And yes, people are excited for a week or a day, but it's not a solid foundation upon which to base your life upon. It's only a team. It's only kicking a football around. That's all it is. And as we read the parable, the interesting thing is that for both those houses, the storms came. The storms come. And they will come. They do come. And when they hit hard. But you see, there was only one house that stood. There was only one house that stood. And as the storms of life come to our lives, and keeping in mind that sometimes they are strong, they are fierce, they have no mercy, then what? Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And I like this one. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Have you discovered that the Lord is your strong tower? Have you made the Lord your strong tower? That you know that you can run to him, you are safe in his care. Because he wants to care for you. He wants to protect you. He wants you to be safe in his care. That's what he wants to do with each one. That in hiding ourselves in him, we are safe. The Lord can be our strong tower. The Lord can be our strength. He wants to be that. Good news, don't you think? And as we see the world changing and ever changing, how we all need to hold fast and to not let go of the faith that we have in Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to have, is to know we can have Jesus. He alone. He alone can offer that protection against the storms of life. And so for the first person in this parable, we see a person who was willing to dig deep. And in the Christian walk, the same is needed, that we must be willing to dig deep, to find a solid rock, which only God can give. He alone. He alone is the one who can give hope in time of need. He alone is the one who can get us through the trials that may come our way. Matthew 7. Let's go back to verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What do we say now? Psalms 11. And in verse 3, the question is asked, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If there is no foundation, if people are not willing to know Jesus, if people are not willing to open the Bible, if people are not willing, what can anyone do? You know, it's amazing. I have relatives who grew up in another denomination. The art. Technically my mum's first cousin, who's now passed on. She was a very faithful churchgoer. She loved her Lord, she went to church faithfully, no question. Her children, they grew up going to church, but no longer do. Come to the generation below them, wouldn't have a clue what a Bible looked like. You know, when the foundations are slowly get eroded away, I remember, I won't say where, but a church I know were holding a series of meetings dealing with archaeology and things of history, biblical history. One friend of mine was taking a lady home who was not just a person from the community, in her 40s, I guess, at that time. And she asked her the question, you know, what did you think of what you heard? And that night we're talking about Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea, etc. And she said, well, I was a bit confused. Who's Moses? Never heard of him. And a friend of mine said, you know, Paul, do we have to go back and reinvent the wheel, as it were? It's difficult when you're dealing with people who don't even understand or have a comprehension of anyone in the Bible, let alone biblical truths. When the foundations are destroyed, it's difficult. It's difficult. And you find yourself again looking at the question when the feet are not upon Jesus. It's nothing. It's nothing. But when you have nothing upon which to stand, and how easy it is to fall. You know, as I stated in the above verse, Psalms 11:3, without a solid foundation, the people perish. Psalms 82. It's another point that is made. Psalms 82. Psalms 82 and verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, all the foundation of the earth are out of course. Without a solid foundation, we find people who have got no direction. No understanding. They don't see. They don't have a purpose. They are walking in the dark. And as we look at the world around us, we can see the evidence of that, with the suicide rate among young people being so high. Nothing to live for. Life's a joke. What's the point of it all? I didn't ask to be born. It's a cruel joke. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and I've got nothing. Get a gun and blow my head off, that's it. Out of my misery. But the world we're living in. Why? No foundation. No foundation. I know when I was in the funeral industry, back then it was one suicide a week. A lot more now. The youngest was an 8-year-old. Not much fun, is it? Without a solid foundation, you lose sense of what we need. People without a purpose in life, waiting for something to happen. Wanting for something to happen, but there's nothing happening, there's no hope. And then, at the end of the day, we all face growing old and then die. It all becomes a cruel joke. The foundation is not there. As we consider both these houses, and what they really represent, we could ask the question, okay, what is really the answer to all of this? What is the best course that we could take? Is there anything we can take out of this parable from these two houses? Is there something we need to learn? I'm reminded of the words of the wisest man that ever lived. Who was he? Solomon. And when you consider all that he did, you would hope that he would learn something. And he did. He did. Ecclesiastes, come with me there. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and in verse 1, he begins this final chapter, and it's an interesting book, in that the whole book was full of misery and woe. But at the end of this little book, he comes up with these words. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When? To remember him? In your youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, saying that, I'm reminded of an elderly gentleman I knew. Known him pretty much for 30, 40 years, I guess. And this day in Ballarat, I saw him in the Central Square in Ballarat, in the Central Square Shopping Centre, whatever it was. He was elderly, within his early 80s. His eyesight was going. And he said to me, Paul, there's one thing I want you to know. To you, what's that, Barry? Old age isn't all it's cracked up to be. Yep, fair enough. And it's not. It's not. And the grim reality, if we all live long enough, we'll all be in that boat too. But here Solomon's saying, hey, get to know Jesus first. Get to know him. Make him your friend. Make him your savior. Make him part of your life. That is your foundation. That is the foundation upon which you need. You need to build your life. At the end of the book, in verse 13, Solomon concludes with a very powerful message when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what is important. Wealth, fame, the 1,000 wives and concubines he had, however many he had, or whatever he did, he tried it all. Then he says, let us now hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep the commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Then he gives the reason why. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret, whether it be good or evil. Fear God. Fear God. Know him. Study his word. Get to know him. Make him a friend. Because with Jesus you have a solid foundation. With him you are safe. With him you have a future. And it's a wonderful future. You see, no one else can give you what he wants to give you. Today. And the beautiful promise is that when the storms of life do come, you will be safe. Why? Because you are where? Safe. You are safe in his care. Do you want that? You can have it as you take the time to talk with him, spend time with him, know him, believe in him, and invite him into your heart so that he can sup with you. And he wants to do that for you, even today. Hiding in thee, O safe in the rock that is higher than I, my soul in his conflicts and sorrows will fly. So sinful, so weary, thine will I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we face the week that lies ahead, may we each hide in you, our rock, and be safe in your care, no matter when or how the storms of life may come. Thank you for the wonderful assurance of your love today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.